Hey everybody, Matt McCarthy for Rugby Wrap-Up, back at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network studios built into Rockin' Riley's here on West 35th Street in New York City. And I have the pleasure of being here with Mr. Doug Schoeninger, the owner of Pro Rugby USA here in North America. Doug, it's your second time on our show. The first time, we had a prearranged agreement where you would get to go through a timeline of events, explaining your side having problems with getting the sanction from USA Rugby and their failure to live up to promises, basically. Has anything changed in that time?
No, nothing has changed.
Nothing's changed so far. No one's reached out to you to try to maybe talk about things or get something ironed out?
No, and I didn't expect it, as I believe their attorneys have counseled the board and the executives of USA Rugby no longer to communicate with me. That's been going on for many months now already.
Interesting and unfortunate. All right.
So, very, very unfortunate.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got a list of questions from the community, specifically members of Congress, players, coaches, et cetera. And I kind of pulled them together, and weeded them out, and wanted to get as succinct as possible with questions. Okay. So, of course, the big one that's hanging out there is people that haven't been paid and why they haven't been paid. And I know that you went through the timeline to explain it, but here's a point. You talk about promises not being kept from USA Rugby toward you, yet at the same time, there seems to be promises that you made that you didn't keep to people in terms of paying them what they earned.
Fair enough. And I've answered this question multiple times to multiple people. All the promises that we haven't fulfilled yet, and hopefully will fulfill once we resolve our issues with USA Rugby and World Rugby and Pro 12 and all the board members, and hopefully then we'll be able to pay everyone what is right, not necessarily what's claimed, but what is right, happened post the breach of the agreement that USA Rugby had with us. They were all a direct and 100% result of their breach, period. There is no exceptions. And the reality that people keep on bringing up this one issue, and no, sure, it's a big issue.
Well, it's an enormous issue. Yeah, it's not a little issue.
Okay, but I have hundreds of issues against them. And this is what you're falling for, is their red herring of the situation. That's what it is. It's smoke. The reason they don't want to ever talk about anything is because they're 100% wrong.
But the thing is here,
I can't pay if I don't have money. I don't have money because this business can't be funded any further because they stripped me and breached the agreement. That is the reality. It was a startup business that was way too much money was poured into this in the beginning. And had I been smarter, I suppose, looking back, I would have ceased the season the minute Nigel breached his agreement with me. But what did I do? I allowed it to go for the betterment of rugby. I paid everyone through it. And it was only...
Well, you didn't pay everyone through it.
Well, I paid everyone through the season, but absolutely.
But the agreement was to pay them for over 12 months.
Yeah, and my agreement was to get exclusivity.
Except... Okay.
So if someone sells you a house and then they burn it down, you still pay your mortgage? No, of course not. It doesn't make any sense.
You had a season.
And the fact you're falling for what everyone else wants to, the narrative they want to give you, which is that's the problem. That's not the problem. That's a symptom of the problem. The problem is then, the reason that John Mitchell quit is not because of me. The reason Nigel quit is not because of me. The reason that USA Rugby doesn't have any money is not because of me. The reason that they talk about this issue over and over again is because they have no answers for their behavior in the past.
Well, Doug, when you're saying they... Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about USA Rugby. It's executives. It's
but I'm
board
not
members.
Talking. I'm not talking from the perspective of USA Rugby here. I'm talking from the perspective of people that performed, played.
Okay. Let's do this.
Provided
I need specifics.
Okay.
Life and specifics.
Okay. Let's go with specifics.
Okay.
All right. The first thing that comes to mind is Paul Keeler.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. So, the team was terminated in December 15th of 2016.
Correct. Paul Keeler was disappeared from our radar for 45 days before that termination. We had no idea who he was. He was supposedly a paid employee, and he left. I mean, I tried to contact him. People in my office tried to contact him. No contact, no return. What do you do with an employee that goes AWOL? You terminate his employment, right?
Look, you never officially terminated his employment.
Yes, we did.
I have gone through
You can go through
emails, and I'm just letting you know. I've done my Judge Judy. No, I'm not. I'm giving you the opportunity to answer the questions, but you're not even letting me ask the questions.
Okay. I'm telling you what happened. He disappeared, and that's why he didn't get paid.
Okay. Well, he completely.
Well, he can claim what he wants. That's the truth.
But as of December 7th, for instance, you're using him on a form as the second contact person for a parks permit request in San Francisco.
December 7th.
December 7th.
Why would I be requesting a park? December 7th?
Because
what year?
2016.
We had nothing in San Francisco in December 7th. Why would I be requesting a park
permit? I don't know. Well, your termination letter to the team on December 15th indicates that you were still trying to get things going in San Francisco. So
I don't know what you're talking about. That makes absolutely no sense. We pulled out of San Francisco, in my mind, months before we terminated. Because San Francisco is a bad sports community for second-tier sports, or in third-tier sports, as the case may be. You see it with the new NASL soccer team that's playing in San Francisco now. They're struggling.
But you never fully terminated the guy until you terminated the team. There is no evidence whatsoever that he was fired or quit. He never quit.
Okay. Listen, there are multiple emails of trying to contact and text messages trying to contact him that went unreturned for a month.
Well, he's claiming that...
He can claim what he wants. There's a venue for that.
I'm just giving you his counter to your saying he disappeared for a month. He disputes that. He says, okay. We even convened the coaches, and he's talking about a period before Labor Day. I think he's saying that you're referring to that, and that's what he was outlying. But he hasn't been paid, and he's shown me the documentation, and that's why you've got him involved in the California labor dispute.
And it'll go through the proper channels.
But you've got a whole long list of...
That's
so
like
it's not
four
just,
or five people.
Well, I've got...
We paid 205 people last season.
I get it. But you haven't paid people that played for a full season that did
absolutely
their, that
we did
their work. You agreed to pay them over the course of 12 months.
And we had a termination clause in the contract.
Okay, but there were players that did not get paid...
And that's not true. Who?
Okay, you cut off Will Maggie, for instance.
Will Maggie left the country.
I have a copy of the signed release for him, which is stipulated in the contract.
I would like to see it.
There's your signed release.
Well, you have it. I don't have it.
Steve Lewis signed it. It's a signed release. And there are other instances of this kind of stuff where you have the language of the contracts. And I didn't bring a stack of contracts here that I've read through that don't have any language in them saying that specifically an international player.
I'm not going to argue this then, but the reality is all these people know is that there's language in there that they had to be available for play. By moving to London, you're no longer available. It's a violation of the contract, and that's the end of it. And he knows it, and which is why he hasn't done anything.
All right. We have to take a quick break, but the contracts don't say that specifically about international players.
Okay, when you show me your law degree, I'll show you my lawyer's law degree, and we'll see who knows better.
Okay, all right. We'll be right back with more from Doug Schoeniger. Do not go away.
If you're just joining us, this is a big match and a big moment as Clijsters toes the line.
You know, John, Anderson has really been struggling out there today. Mistake as Clijsters clinches another title. Don't let your nutrition get in the way. USANA, the official multivitamin of the WTA.
So this is the 10th anniversary of the NYC Rugby Cup, which is hard to believe. It's come a long way. I think we've got over 60 teams here today, and they're all kitted out, representing different teams from across the country. We've always had a theme every year, and this is the culminating event for our partner programs and our community programs that work with us throughout the year to come and showcase their skills and their go-forward attitude as well. So it's super exciting to be celebrating the 10th anniversary. Thanks to AIG and Canterbury for supporting us, all the volunteers, all the sponsors, and especially the staff and volunteers. Some fantastic rugby, lots of sportsmanship, the kids still had a blast. And now, of course, now we've finished, the sun has come out. So that's the way it goes, I guess. Every day's a rugby day.
And we are back at Rugby Wrap-Up, Studio 34's Fantasy Sports Network. Matt McCarthy with Mr. Doug Schoeniger. Doug, this is a dialogue that's a little spirited, I'd say.
Well, because I think it's unfair. I like to talk in specifics and facts. And what's missing from rugby, in all instances, is facts always. Everyone talks in these kind of abstract terms. You didn't pay. You did this wrong. This was wrong. Nigel was a a-hole. but never specifically why. What the specifics? They're venues for complaints. Listen, one of our ex-employees, Steve Lewis, is suing me for $1,000. We're countersuing him for $5,000. The courts will hear that. They'll decide. I believe in the courts. Whatever they decide, we'll abide by. And that's the venue for it. This kind of non-factual conversation, bar talk, is not the venue for this.
Well,
it's just not.
You can label it that.
There's a lot more important things to talk about.
But I do have specifics.
Well, if you have a full file, you should have told me. I would have brought my file with me. Well, I'm just, and then I would have been able to respond to everyone, because everyone who's...
So, okay, let me ask you this then. What do you think people out there should say or ask? If you're on the other side, what are you asking you about people not getting paid other than blaming USA Rugby? Because it rings hollow to...
It shouldn't ring hollow.
Well, you know what? Because you do say...
This was a startup business that, as I told USA Rugby way back in June, was dependent on outside funding in order to keep it going. Everyone knew revenues were not enough to keep expenses going, and so it kept on constant investment. Now, the investment happened to come from me, and at some point, we turned that over to others as well. At some point, when you're screwed and when you feel that you've been frauded, you can no longer justify funding this business. This isn't a situation where there was money that went into my pocket or anyone I know's pocket. This was money that isn't paid because there's no money to pay them. And there's no money to pay them because they cut out. You know, we'd be finishing our second season right now. We would have spent three times the budget. We had 3 to 4 times the budget we had our first season. There would have been a lot more happy people. There would have been a lot more rugby. But what happened instead? This. That's what happens. So you tell me right now, a year later, a year after Dan Payne started, that we're in a better place in rugby.
Oh, I don't disagree with you that we're okay. Not in a better place.
And stop just talking about this one issue and talk about things that really matter.
It's not just one issue when it comes to non-payments for different people across
Absolutely. The board. And the details are in the facts, and that's why there's venues to deal with these, because each situation is different.
Let me ask you this then. You've spent a ton of money so far.
And energy. That. More importantly, it is my energy.
I get that.
And the lost income that I've made by dedicating my last 2 years to rugby.
How about this? How about, because you're going to try to recoup your losses in lawsuits anyway.
I'm not going to try. We're going to recoup our losses.
So you're going
and it's
going to
be
sue.
Scorched earth at this point.
All right. So you're going to sue, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So well,
I don't want to, but when someone doesn't talk to you and try to friendly work things out, you have no option but to go to formalized venues.
Okay, so why not then pay the monies that you owe and then collect them on the other side?
Because that would require an additional money to be put into you to Pro Rugby, which at this time is not financially.
But what are we talking about? Are we talking 250 to 450, something in that neighborhood?
I don't know what the number is.
You know, somebody's got to know what the number is.
I don't know what the number is, and it's private information, even if I did know what the number is. It's not relevant.
The
there's
point,
no additional funding the going into Pro Rugby
the point,
until there's a resolution with my agreement and my the breach of agreement that I feel World Rugby and USA Rugby did against us.
Okay, but there seem to be breaches in the agreement that you made with the players and coaches
I don't know what
that you didn't honor. Okay, for instance, health insurance.
Right, there was no promise of health insurance.
It says in the language of the contracts that health insurance will be provided.
No.
And also, if I'm not mistaken, and you're right, as you pointed out earlier, I am not a lawyer.
Right, so don't act like one.
Okay,
please.
I'm not, but I am reading stuff that's pretty basic. And according to the Affordable Care Act, if you have a certain amount of employees, you're supposed to supply health insurance. You can answer this.
Okay, so I'm sure with I'm sure before you say that, you fully researched it. I'm sure you understand fully the nuances of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, do you?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay, then explain it to me.
Enough to I know that the number that triggers the Affordable Care Act is from the 52 weeks prior, for the year before. The year before, Pro Rugby had about 3 employees. So we didn't qualify. Second year, we would have qualified to having to provide insurance under the Affordable Care Act. First year, we're not. So there you go. We have no one has claimed that we should have done it. Keeler has said, you should need to give everyone insurance, and then we're going to sue. But the reality is, I guess he dropped it because he realizes we were in complete compliance.
Well, again, I'm not a lawyer.
So
I'm
please
not,
don't accuse
I'm not pretending
us.
To be a lawyer, but I believe that there is no waiver for a first year.
Well, then we both need to read again, because I've been told by my counsel that it was not required. And he showed me I trust him, and I believe it to be true. And no one has... You know, I'm sure if the state of California had an issue with it, they would have written a letter or something.
Well, I mean, there are issues that are going to come out in the California Labor Board. And I'm just wondering, is it going to cost you more money paying those individuals? Say, let's paint a picture of you go there and you lose all of those cases. Isn't that going to cost you more money than just paying those people out?
I pay people when they deserve to get paid. Those are hypotheticals. Listen, the business doesn't have any money. So where, you want me to write a check that's going to bounce? I don't do
well,
that.
Well, then, you know, you could say that to folks instead of just saying they're not getting paid.
Forever.
But, you know, you've been maintaining that you're not paying because it's of the sanction issue with rugby, with USA Rugby, in not extending your
well,
landing.
I don't know who you speak to, but everyone.
You, I speak to you.
Well, we've talked specifically about this. I don't know.
You on camera have said specifically you're not paying people because of USA Rugby.
If you want to try to make me look bad,
I'm not. I'm trying to get to the answers. I'm not trying to make you look bad, Doug.
Well, you are, and it's ridiculous because there's pages of real issues to talk about.
There, and I've just gone through two that you just completely start yelling at me about. So
pay and pay
health insurance.
Well, I've told you
saying that it wasn't.
It's not required.
But it was in the language of the contracts that you were going to provide it.
I don't have the contract in front of me. I'd have to review it.
All right, I've got one here where it says health benefits.
Okay, what's it say?
Have a gander. So it basically,
yeah. In terms of the, if we had a plan, we never had a plan.
But it would imply that you're going to have a plan.
We tried to have a plan, but we didn't do it. If you remember, we were on a 10-month rush schedule that was mandated by us, by USA Rugby, to put on our first season. And in 10 months is not a long time.
Yeah, but to be fair, you could have said no to that.
Said no to what?
The 10-month rush period.
It was take it or leave it, and that will be shown when we start going.
So, all right, we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to have one more segment. I want to give you one more segment, and you could yell at me a little bit more.
I don't want to yell at you.
Well,
I just want to talk about media.
Make sure when you do, you're on mic. Matt McCarthy with Doug Schoeninger at Studio 34, Rockin' Riley's at the Fantasy Sports Network for Rugby Wrap-Up. We'll be right back.
Michael Petrie, 3-time Rugby World Cup scrum half for Team USA's Men's Eagles. What do you make of this high school rugby national championship here in Kansas City?
It's an amazing atmosphere. It's an amazing tournament. I mean, the organizers did a fantastic job. There's so much support from so many different people. I mean, you know, sponsors like the Murphy Kennedy Group just really are what make this happen. And, you know, the athleticism on display here is only a testament to how far we've come as a rugby nation. But the future is very bright for rugby in our country, for sure.
Hey everybody, Matt McCarthy back at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network for Rugby Wrap-Up here at Rockin' Riley's at the Renaissance Hotel on West 35th Street in New York City. And I have Mr. Doug Schoeninger with me again. Doug, we've gone a couple of rounds so far. Here's round three, right?
You're making it.
I don't think so. I'm asking you questions. And I said I'm asking you questions from the rugby community.
Okay,
and
then let me speak for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
The thing that gets me so upset is that you're honing on things that are past history, that will be resolved the way they get resolved in proper venues. Let's move forward and talk about the real problems. The reason that USA Rugby's national ranking is 17th in the world. The reason that the head coach quit. The reason that the new CEO has no authority and has done none of the things that he told me he would do a year ago. And he's been in office
one year. Let's talk about that. Because you keep bringing up Nigel as part of the problem here. And then at the same time, you say he's not part of the problem.
He's probably both.
Okay. Right. Which is pretty much par for the course with him over the course of his career. All right.
Once again, an abstract. Do you mean speak specifics and then we can...
Oh, I could speak specifically about this, and I have with you a number of times about what I can be the courthouse lawyer for Nigel Melville on both sides of the aisle, but that's the problem.
Listen, I'm not great support of him. He messed me up more than he messed most.
Okay, because we keep getting back to people not getting paid. That's my shtick here. I want the people to get paid.
And I want the game of rugby to grow and to bring in new fans and to get everyone paid, and for players to make real money like in other sports. And what keeps me from talking to them? They're not allowed to talk to me. That's as simple as that. I've sent Will Chang personally a couple of intros just to him. He doesn't return any. Dan Payne, probably 30 emails. When there is a return, it's from their attorney, never from Dan. I haven't communicated with Dan on the phone, email, anyway, in 3-4 months at least. Listen, they decided to go after me. What they've misinterpreted, and which is very unfortunate, and is what's... You know, what I really want to speak to is what's going to happen next, right? Unfortunately, when someone doesn't talk to you and you feel you've been wronged, you have only choice to go to formalized venues. We're going to do that. I'm going to do that with all our might and all our power, all at once.
So,
and unfortunately, let me just finish. Unfortunately, the people that are going to hurt the most are the plans and the players, ones who had nothing to do with this issue. And what's going to happen is they're going to be the ones that are going to suffer. These players that have shelf lives of maybe 3 or 4 years, this is going to tie this up for 3, 5, 6 years. And you know who I blame? I blame, obviously, the board. I blame the both CEOs, Nigel and Dan. I blame the Congress. But the most importantly, I blame the members. Because the members have sat by for 10 years, if not 15, complaining and talking and whining and drinking
beer. What members?
All members. All 120,000, obviously.
Members of USA Rugby.
Yes, they allowed this non-accountability and non-recourse action. Who are these people on the board? You know.
Well, you just said 125,000 people are responsible for this.
Well, they're responsible for allowing it to happen, right?
Allowing what to happen? The sanction agreement between
you
and...
No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about all of it. All of it. Okay, absolutely. But the dysfunction of what's going on there. Some of them that Tony Rendell speaks to a little bit.
Okay, but wait a minute.
Other people speak to as well.
We're getting way too broad.
Well, but the issue, we're a symptom of the problem. We're not the problem. That's what you don't understand.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with you completely on that.
You don't have to.
And so, you know, there are issues out there that are directly relatable to you and your actions. So, or inaction in terms of honoring
Okay, so let me...
You got the San Francisco Police Department owed over, like, $2,500 or something
That's
crazy
not
like
true.
That.
That's not true.
Well, like, you know, there's emails to Dominic pretty recently.
How would you have gotten an email to Dominic?
I'm an investigative reporter.
Another question is, you know, you want to be honest and truthful here. Now, how did you get our sanction agreement?
I can't tell you that.
Why not?
Because that's part of the...
you know, you realize you'll have to tell me that at some point.
All right, whatever. You know, if I have to tell you at some point, I have to tell you at some point.
Do you realize that when whoever gave that to you violated our agreement?
Here, you got an invoice from the San Francisco Police Department for $1,600.
This is over a year old. This has been paid. What are you talking about?
No, they haven't been paid. Apparently, to these people, they haven't been paid. So I have done my research on this.
Okay, can I see where they say they haven't been paid?
I didn't bring the emails where they say they haven't been paid, but we can produce those if you want.
I'd love to see them because I don't have them. No one's emailed me from the San Francisco Police Department.
Check Dominic's emails.
Dominic gives me every email. He's a very good employee.
No, I think you're CC'd on the emails. All right, okay. So I don't want to, you know.
You're
asking
calling me a liar.
No, you're asking me for specifics, and I'm showing
and you
specifics. And
you show me an invoice that's a year old.
That hasn't been paid.
That has been paid.
Okay, that's where we disagree here.
Okay.
And it has been paid.
Listen, if you want to be a frustrated accountant, that's fine, but we're trying to figure out what the
How
real
did you
is.
Guess?
Well,
okay.
Not a very good one either.
Let's move on. Let's move on because we only got a little bit of time. Let's talk about the future for Pro Rugby USA and how it might clash with the MLR, which looks like it's going to launch in April of 2018. Will you sue them even if they're not a sanctioned entity?
Listen, I don't know much about the MLR. I only know what I hear, and I don't respond to innuendo and gossip. And that's all that's out there.
You mean
I don't think
as
they've
the formation
made
any, of the league?
Yeah, I don't think they've made a public announcement.
Yeah. Well, they've
announced that they're going to announce. That's like engaged to get married.
Okay, technically, I guess you're right.
So when they do that, if they do that, we'll have our formal response. But, you know, I'm trying to honor the process and not speculate, which everyone else likes to do endlessly.
Right. Will we see, and I know I asked you on the last show, and I just want to see if there's any new developments, so forgive me, but will we see a pro rugby setup in the year 2017?
A lot of what happens in the future is what I said before. It depends on the actions of USA Rugby. So it's hard to say.
So if you don't put out something because you don't reach an agreement with USA Rugby, what happens in 2018?
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Well, your time has been much appreciated, Doug. I know this was like going to the dentist for you in a lot of ways. And, I appreciate it. But I'm not here to hijack. I'm here to ask questions.
The fortunate thing, we don't get to the meat. We get to the fluff. And that's what USA Rugby wants you to do. It's all a distraction on their problems. Their lack of budget, it's not my problem. Their lack of hedge coach, it's not my problem. Their lack of performance, not my problem. All these things are not my problem. First it was Nigel they attacked, right? And I'm not going to even comment if it was deserving or not. It was Nigel. Then it was me. Now it's Will, right? I sent Will a personal email saying, you know, Nigel warned me that I was going to be next, and I didn't believe him. Then I was next. Now I'm just out of courtesy, even though you don't talk to me, warning you, you're next. That was before he was attacked, and now he's next. That's what's going on. This is not good for rugby. It's never been for rugby, and it's the reason rugby stays where it is.
Do you think there should be a change at the board of directors?
Wholesale, absolutely.
For USA Rugby?
Absolutely.
And what about the CEO?
Absolutely.
So who would you like to see in there?
I don't know. I mean, I had, when they were picking a CEO, which apparently was locked in from the beginning, and I had spoke, they had asked me my opinion, so I gave them my advice. I said they should take administrators from other leagues, like MLS, maybe lacrosse, minor league baseball has great administrators, people like that, that know sports. We need someone know sports. Not, stop talking to just rugby people and saying you're going to grow the game. You need to become a real sport, a real professional, and then maybe this game has a chance to grow here.
Final question, do you regret doing the rugby thing rather than minor league baseball?
Well, I can do both, number one, but I don't regret anything I do in life.
Doug Schoeniger, thank you for coming on. Much appreciated. Matt McCarthy at the Studio 34 in the Rockin' Riley's Fantasy Sports Network for Rugby Wrap-Up, signing off.